1 John 5:11 and 12. Very simple, and yet so true. That's how simple the gospel is, that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in Jesus. Acts 4:12, no other name given among men by which we must be saved. John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And so this is our memory verse for the week. And so let's pray and dismiss the children. And then let's open up the Word of God together. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you are so good to us, even though we do not always deserve it. Thank you that your forgiveness never ends. Your mercy is unceasing. Lord, thank you that we can know where we are spiritually. That we can know how to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. Thank you for this memory verse. Lord, as we look at this verse, that you have given us eternal life, that it's a gift, that we did not earn it, we did not have to purchase it, but you gave us eternal life. And we think of other scriptures, in Romans, in Ephesians, where we're told that salvation is the gift of God. Thank you that it's very clear in your word that this life is in your Son, Jesus. That through Jesus and Jesus alone can we receive eternal life, true life, abundant life. As he says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Thank you that eternal life is not about length of life, it's about quality of life. That right now to have eternal life is to have a relationship with you, that we might walk and find joy and prosperity and success spiritually in all that we do. Lord, thank you for your dire warning in verse 12, that whoever has the Son has life, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That again, Lord, you make it very clear that right now we need to choose, do we have the Son? Because that is what will determine our destiny in eternity. So Lord, thank you now. As we dismiss the kids, we just thank you. And we just pray for them. We thank you for their teachers who faithfully teach. Thank you again that they get to learn about Jesus this morning. Bless them. Be with them. Be with us now. And as we open up our Bibles, may we also open up our hearts to you. May your Spirit work in us. Thank you that you have revealed yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, children, off you guys go. So I think that this morning will not be memorable so much for what I preach on, but for the different ways I say it. And so maybe you could turn my mic down just a little bit, just a tad, because I'm going to try different ways of not losing my voice. I don't know if I've ever lost my voice before. I mean, and for the amount of words, you know, for the amount of talking I do, you'd think that somehow it would wear out, but it doesn't. Let's get into the Word of God. We've had the Lord's table this morning, and I want to really talk to you about a rock-solid faith. I want to talk to you about this idea of, can you know for sure? Can you have the assurance of your salvation? And I'm going to say absolutely, positively, that even though you're going through hardship, even though you're going through struggle, even though life is not perfect, you can have a rock-solid faith. And that's where we want to go this morning. Now, I don't know if you have ever noticed this in the news, but one of my favorite stories was the man who saw someone flying a balloon and thought, hey, I can build one of those. And so he took a lawn chair, L-A-W-N, because it's not coming out that way, and then he attached weather balloons to it. And he had it weighted down, and then he built in this little flimsy aluminum lawn chair, he built a seatbelt, packed a lunch, and he cut the weight. What he didn't realize was that he put way too many weather balloons. Oh, he also had a pellet gun. He figured if he wanted to come down, he'd just shoot one of the balloons, and he'd just float down. What he didn't realize was that he instantly ascended to 8,000 feet. He went way up. In fact, as he went over Los Angeles, he went through restricted airspace, which brought out the military. He then started to head towards the Atlantic Ocean. And finally, he was rescued at great expense and great humiliation. And it got me thinking, people who do computer simulations but fail at the real thing. Did you ever own a flight simulator on your computer? Okay. I think the more popular thing right now are race car simulators, where you can be in a car and you can actually buy the steering wheel and the accelerator and drive the car on a big screen. It's not the same as driving a car. A flight simulator. There was a person who practiced on a computer flying a plane, and they were convinced that they could just get into a plane and fly it. They crashed. It didn't work. And so this whole idea of people who think it's a good idea, but it's not a good idea. That's how I want to equate religion to you this morning. Religion is a good idea. Religion is not bad. Yes, there are bad things that happen in the name of religion, but religion is not a bad thing. It's a good idea. A lot of religions talk about kindness. A lot of religions talk about doing good. A lot of religions talk about being the best person that you can. That's a good idea. It's not wrong to be good or kind. But when we talk about eternity, it's like going from a computer simulation to getting into the cockpit of a plane and thinking that's all I need to do. No, it's not. And the reason I say that is because of Matthew chapter 7. Turn with me, please, this morning to Matthew chapter 7. What I want to do this morning, I want to talk to you about the difference between religion and relationship from Matthew chapter 7. And I'm assuming that we'll probably pick up next week. I'll go as far as I can this morning, and we'll just get into this. And then probably what we'll do is we'll pick up next week on this. Next week we have a guest worship leader. I'm excited. Next week we'll probably have a speaker with a voice. I'm excited about that too. But right now, take a look at Matthew chapter 7. And so we're going to start at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And so can someone read verse 21 for me? Go ahead, just nice and loud, right where you are. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Maybe put your hand up and I'll point to you. Tim, go ahead, go face everybody and read it out loud for us. That's an amazing verse. I remember the first time I read this verse. I didn't grow up in church. I hated people who called themselves Christians. I didn't really like people who were religious. They were all hypocrites as far as I was concerned. I started going to church, and I really questioned people. I was obnoxious. I was kind of abrasive. But I wanted to see, are these people genuine, or are they just a bunch of phonies? And I ended up coming to Christ because of the love and grace and patience of people. And I remember reading this verse, and it was like a light bulb came on. There are several light bulbs in my life, and this is one of those light bulbs. Because I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, why are there so many people that go to church? Why are there so many people that even call themselves Christians? But there's just something not right. Something's wrong. I see it. I saw it as a person who wasn't a believer. I see it now as a pastor who is a believer. And this verse is an amazing verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, notice verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What an amazing passage. Now, I think, Linda, you have your Bible open to verse 24. Can you read verses 24 to 27? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man Okay, and then 26 and 27 as well. And great was the fall of it. The reason those words are so true is because great was the fall of it means that there was, this is speaking in spiritual terms, this is not just kind of getting into heaven. This is not getting into heaven. This is salvation versus no salvation. This is eternal life versus eternal judgment. This is the warning that comes in this passage. And the whole thing is the difference between religion and relationship. And if you go back to verse 21, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, then take a look at this. Verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not? I call that, look, look. People will be standing before Jesus saying, did we not say, Lord, Lord? People will be saying, look, look, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do this? And the whole thing is this, the difference between religion and relationship. The difference, if you care about where you will spend eternity, the difference will not be Lord, Lord, or look, look, but a rock-solid faith built on hearing the words of Jesus and obeying it. Because notice what it says in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, solid rock faith. Because they have built their faith on a solid rock. Then notice this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, that's a faith built on sand. And here's the big idea. In fact, before the big idea, think of Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we forget the next part of that verse. It says what? And teaching them to do what? Teaching them to obey everything. See, this is an interesting thing. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, because it is referring to one God who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, all things that I have commanded you. So, here's the big idea. The assurance of our salvation. If you, right now, If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and maybe you're going through some hardship, if you're a believer right now, and you're thinking, well, boy, I'm definitely in. There's no way God is going to kick me out because, Lord, Lord, I talk about God, and I think, I tell people all the time, hey, me and Jesus, we're like best friends. If you think, Lord, Lord, will get you into heaven. Or if you think, look, look, look at me. Look how much money I give. Look at the church I belong to. Look at all the things I do for other people. If you think that Lord, Lord, or look, look, is going to get you into heaven when you stand before Jesus, no. If you think that, man, my life is just awful right now. I'm really struggling. I kind of wonder if God even loves me. The assurance of our salvation. If you want to know, Mike, I don't always feel as spiritually strong as I should. Understand this. The assurance of our salvation does not come from a spectacular faith. You see all these people on TV, kazam, kaboom, look at this, look at that. You meet other people and it's like their life is just like perfect spiritually. The assurance of our salvation does not come from a spectacular faith, but a faithful, obedient faith. Think about that. The assurance of salvation, if you're going through difficulty, if life has its struggles, and you're thinking, I don't know if my faith is strong enough, I don't know if I'm good enough for God. No, 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 no. God has given us eternal life. It's a gift from God. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, not he who has a spectacular faith. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Not the person who goes to church and talks a lot. Not the person who says, oh, look at all the wonderful things I do. It's not a Lord, Lord, or a look, look faith. It's not a spectacular faith that gives us the assurance of our salvation. It's a faithful, obedient faith. That's what it is. In fact, let me just see here. Nope, I didn't put it down. Let me read this. That's because I just realized I don't have it coded as being a slide. In a perform, listen very carefully. In a performance-based culture, do we live in the United States? Is the United States a performance-based culture? Is the Bay Area a performance-based culture? Show me how nice a car you drive. That's how I can tell. Show me how big a house you live in. That's how I can tell. Talk about your lavish trips. That's how I can tell. No, 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 no. In a performance-based culture, we need to understand that it does not matter how impressive or wonderful your results are. What matters is your obedience to Christ. Are you listening to Jesus? Instead of having your hand in your pocket to pull out the wallet, is your ear tuned in to Jesus? Are you faithfully listening? What matters is your obedience to Christ. Are you listening? Are you obeying? And let me just say this. You can be going through incredibly difficult situations in life. But if you are trusting Jesus, if you are obeying Jesus, if you are seeking to become more like Jesus, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. He who has the Son has life. What matters in a performance-based culture, we need to understand, are we faithful to Jesus? A quiet, faithful faith is the assurance of salvation, not a Lord, Lord, or look, look type of thing. Are you listening? Are you obeying? When Jesus says, believe in me, do you believe? When Jesus says, obey, do you obey? When Jesus says, go, do you go? When Jesus says, forgive, do you forgive? When Jesus says, stop sinning, do you repent? And that's where we're going to stop right now for this morning. We have a couple of minutes left, but we'll stop here. And so here's the big thing. If you're going through difficulty, trust Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Get strength from Jesus. But don't be discouraged thinking God doesn't love you. He's helping you to become more like Jesus. If you think, hey, I deserve to get to heaven because of how wonderful I am, be careful. A rock-solid faith is built only on Jesus, never on my goodness, my good deeds, my wonderfulness. It's a quiet, faithful faith. Let's pray.